Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, good morning. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, wherever you happen to be, whatever you're doing, wherever you happen to be traveling. We're so grateful to have you tuning in on this annual meeting Sunday. This is the Sunday each year where we take some time to reflect on the year that has been and on where we might be called together by the Lord in the future. So to prepare our hearts for the scripture that will be offered, which is the story of the loaves and fishes and their multiplication in the Gospel of John, I want you to listen to our morning's anthem from our very own Sloan Alexander and Eric Burns, Build My Life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save a man. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. All we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to the Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save a man. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
as I mentioned, we're looking at the story of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish in the Gospel of John. And this is a story that's told in all four of the Gospels, but here in chapter 6, we get the Gospel writer John's articulation of the story. And this is how it unfolds. It says, "After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, 'Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?' Jesus said this to test Philip, for he knew himself what he was going to do. But Philip answered, 6 months' wages would not even buy enough bread for each of them to get a little.' One of Jesus' other disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, 'There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?' Jesus said, 'Make the people sit down.' Now, there was a great deal of green grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost.' So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who'd eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, 'This is indeed the prophet who's come into the world.' When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself." And then a little later on, Jesus, speaking of himself and his ministry, he says in that same chapter in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's pray together. Lord God, this is a miraculous story, and we really do want to understand how it might intersect with our lives, and on this particular Sunday, with our church. So we just pray that your will might be made known to us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So there's an ancient Jewish tradition of rabbis gathering to debate scripture throughout the day. Looking at different texts and stories, considering them from 1,001 different angles and perspectives, arguing at times passionately for one interpretation over another. It's been said that debate is a Jewish sacrament. Now, I bring this up because debating scripture, imagining messages and meanings of a text, adventurously exploring the biblical stories is what we have been doing in Bible study on Wednesday mornings in this church for the past 8 years. And I've been doing it in my ministry for the past 24 years. And it's fun. I mean, it's not so much a class as kind of an exploration, a romp through the Bible, if you will. And oftentimes, the most remarkable revelations come to light, and Mary Lou Voss, who's a member of the class, made just such an observation about this text that I just read last week. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 in the wilderness of Galilee is one, as I mentioned, of the few stories told in all four Gospels. It is significant, and it's significant for a whole host of reasons, but for the Jewish people, it would have seemed like a Moses-like miracle. Right? A Moses-like miracle, providing food in the desert. You may remember manna in the desert from the story of the Exodus. So this is a significant happening. But the question is always how. How did this miracle unfold? How were 5,000 people, maybe even more, if you add in women and children, how were they fed on a hillside in Galilee with a Costco nowhere in sight? That was the question that Jesus asked. Where are we to buy bread for all these people to eat? And the correct answer, which Philip kind of gave, if you think about it, is we can't. That's the correct answer. We can't. Feeding all these people is beyond our ability. And Andrew confirmed that their personal resources were not enough to meet the needs and hungers of the crowd, saying, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" So how did this miracle happen? Was it magically multiplying bread and fish, or did the generosity and selfless act of one boy kind of unleash generosity from the entire crowd? Everyone shared what they had. It turned out to be more than enough. And in truth, People sharing with others might be just as miraculous as, say, an ever-expanding loaf of bread. So I love the observation Mary Lou made in Bible study last week. She pointed to verse 11, where it says, "Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish." And Mary Lou asked, "Doesn't that mean Jesus handed out all the bread and fish himself?" Now, in the other Gospels, in the other tellings of this story, it does seem as though Jesus' disciples helped to distribute the food, maybe primarily doing that. But in this telling, it's unclear. It says Jesus distributed the bread and fish to those who were seated. I mean, I think that's an extraordinary observation. Did Jesus distribute the food to the crowd himself? Now, I don't know how that's possible, but there's no indication Jesus was teaching or preaching at this point. So what if he was doing exactly what the text says, going through the crowd, distributing the food? I want you to just consider that for a moment. Imagine traveling a great distance to see Jesus, finding yourself in this huge crowd, struggling to even catch a little glimpse of Jesus. And then suddenly, Jesus appears before you, looks you in the eye, perhaps offers you a word of greeting, and then hands you a piece of bread right from his very hand. I mean, imagine that. If you had a direct encounter with Jesus, and let's say you only received a cube of bread as big as we offer you during communion, which we'll do on this Sunday, but if you received it directly from Jesus' hand, I mean, after that encounter, would you be thinking about anything other than having had a first-hand interaction with Jesus? Would you really be thinking about how hungry you were or weren't? I mean, take a concert, for example. Imagine being at a concert for your favorite recording artist and surprise, surprise, you receive unexpectedly a backstage pass, and within moments, you're standing in front of that artist. You know, imagine that. Would you be thinking about how hungry you were in that moment? And in years that would come, as you retold the story, would you say anything? Would you remember anything about how hungry you might have been? No. You'd be thinking about the encounter. And I wonder if that's what happened, because later in the same chapter, Jesus would say, and I read this to you, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." What if it was that direct encounter with Jesus that actually filled people? Jesus makes contact with us as he hands us a piece of bread. I mean, if that were to happen, how much more full could you possibly be? Now, I don't have any idea if that's the genesis of this miracle, but it highlights an important truth proclaimed throughout the Gospels, that in the hands of Jesus, the impossible is possible. Hunger is eased, people are fulfilled, multitudes are moved. You know, and I kind of said this the other week, I sometimes wonder if our very capable hands get in the way of some of God's most extraordinary work. I mean, we're so able. We're so able. We don't need much divine intervention to do a lot of the work we do inside the church and outside the church. And I think about that. I mean, we're so very self-sufficient, we don't often need God to help us accomplish much of anything. I mean, I think about our church this week alone. Our efforts and energies for ministry, they've been on full display. We had 100 youth and additional advisors and contractors return from the mission trip this past week, wishing their experience would not end. On Monday night, we had a chapel full of Fairfield County men gathered to talk that night about their feelings, being vulnerable with each other. Who would have guessed that? Wednesday morning Bible study, where folks gather to explore Scripture in person, but then from Florida and Pennsylvania and Georgia and Long Island, sometimes even beyond that. We had hundreds of people in our meeting house this Wednesday night to see Savannah Guthrie talk about her new book, Mostly What God Does. And on Sunday evening, we have our new worship service led by our junior deacons with a new music ensemble featuring Richard Williams from Pivot Preaching. I mean, that's just a sampling of all that's been happening on God's Acre this week. I mean, find me another church in New England that's had a week like this. I mean, all of this, it is a gift from God. But truthfully, most of those activities, well, we can accomplish through sheer force of will and our own hard work, if you think about it. I mean, I wonder, what if the Lord is calling us into relationship in ways that will allow us to accomplish work we can't even dream of ourselves. I mean, the kind of kingdom work that would cause us to say, oh my word, we can't do that. That's impossible. We don't have enough resources to meet the needs in front of us. It was suggested in Bible study last week that maybe based off this scripture, we set a goal of feeding 5,000 people. And I love the suggestion, but I thought about it. And you know what? Feeding 5,000 people, we could figure out how to do that during our annual meeting today. I mean, what about feeding 50,000? What is the goal or vision or mission we're being called to that's so grand we can't possibly accomplish it without the Lord's assistance, without the Lord offering a helping hand? I have a good friend who, with a small team of Christians, planted a church in Birmingham, Alabama, that is now a multi-campus community of faith that is working to transform and revitalize entire neighborhoods in downtown Birmingham. And I visited him a number of times there. And when I ask him and his staff how the church is doing all that they're doing, he says to me, well, you know, it's pretty easy. We just keep putting ourselves in situations where the Lord better come quick. You know, they regularly take huge risks for faith that require God to act if they're to succeed, frankly, if they're to even survive. I would love our congregation to be that daring. As a Christian, I desire to be that daring. Now, okay, we are a vital church. I am so grateful that. I give thanks to God to be able to serve a church as lively as our community of faith in what is the least religious region of our country in an age of cataclysmic church decline. I am grateful. I'm grateful for who we are and all that we have. But I have this nagging sense that with a more dependent relationship on the Lord, we could do and be even more to the glory of God. With the Lord's assistance, according to the story, miracles beyond measure are possible. You know, in an effort to tease out what the Holy Spirit might be able to accomplish with us this year, we asked everybody to fill out a pledge card, and on that pledge card to fill out some greater works based on that John passage where Jesus said, we will do greater works than he did. We gave you an opportunity to write out what greater works you think the Holy Spirit might be calling us to. However, only about 10% of us responded, at least to the back of the card. And in my opinion, as I looked at those responses, 100% of them were fairly easy to accomplish if we put our minds and hearts to the task. But none of our cards, my own included, none of them, I think, hinted at a mission or ministry that God, who, as it says in the Ephesians, letter to the Ephesians, God who can accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, might inspire. You know, we are 9 years away from our 300th birthday as a church. And I promise you, our faith ancestors who dared to perch this church on this hill in 1733, oh my word, they could not have dreamed what our community would become. It makes me wonder, what grand endeavor might the Lord call us to if we were to dare to put ourselves in a position where the Lord better come quick? What might be possible if we so extended ourselves that we literally needed the hand of the Lord to pull us through? If we fully entrusted whatever bread and fish we have into the hands of Jesus, how much blessing and how many leftovers would be available through our faith community? I know, we're not merely called to be a blessing on God's acre. I suspect the Lord had far more real estate in mind for us to bless and care for when the dream of our church was birthed nearly 300 years ago. Now, the reason we asked the question we did on those pledge cards is because while we sense we're called to greater works, we don't exactly know what those works might be. However, and this is what I love, our congregational tradition asserts that where two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, like in a congregational meeting, for instance, Jesus is among us, and Jesus can lead us into a life and a way of living that is beyond our own imagining. Together, we really can discern the will of the Spirit for our church, and that discernment can propel us into another 300 years of ministry beyond imagining. But the question is, how do we actually get there? Individually and collectively, how do we get there? How are we available for the greater work the Lord desires for us and from us? How would we even know what it is? I was thinking about that, and I thought about you know, as we kind of approach the cross during the season of Lent, that right before Jesus's death, Jesus uttered words to God that might be the key to unlocking infinite possibilities. Jesus's last words on the cross were, and I know you know these, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit." That's Jesus saying, "Lord, I place my life in your hands. All that I am and all that I have, I turn over to you." And that prayer helped to open the gates of eternity to all of us. You know, I wonder if those are not only good words to speak at the hour of our death, but even more essential words to utter at the beginning of each new day. If the Lord can fill the bellies and lives of thousands of people with the bread in his hands, what can he do with our lives and our church placed in his good keeping? I've been reading a book of Puritan prayers this Lent, and one by Philip Doddridge really captivated my heart and mind. Doddridge was a Congregationalist minister who actually, he began his pastoral work in 1730, just as our founders of our church were planning a new congregation. And he wrote this prayer that says, "This day, Lord God, I surrender myself to you. I consecrate to you all that I am and all that I have, the faculties of my mind, the members of my body, my worldly possessions, my time, and my influence over others, all to be used entirely for your glory. To your direction, I resign myself and all that I have and all that I am to be used in such a way as you, in your infinite wisdom, O Lord, judge most suited to the purposes of your glory. To you, Lord God, I leave the management of all events, and I say without reserve, not my will, but yours be done." I'll tell you, our lives, our church, turned over into the hands of Jesus each morning, each day, until the end of the time. If we did that, what might be possible? I hope we find out. Let's pray together. Lord God, inspire us to take risks for faith. Inspire us to stretch beyond what we think is possible. Allow us to see you in the distance calling us forward, and allow us to make our way there, trusting that somehow you can bring us the entire distance, bring us to places we couldn't even imagine ourselves. So Lord, we pray that for our church, but we also pray that for our individual lives as people of faith. And we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Well, church family, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with kindness and give you peace now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.